Jason, quick
you
question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Help me understand a little bit more clearly what you're asking.
Did you ever hear it called Don't Go Jason Waterfalls?
Is this Matt Hamilton?
So I kind of just thought of this question on the spot. So it needs to be workshopped a little. I'm not going to lie.
The same as Matt.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Oh, snap! What's up with that? What's up with that?
We are thrilled to be joined by Jason Wilde on Jim, Matt, and Molly. And Jason, your mind is going to be blown. It is actually Jim, Matt, and Molly. Matt's in San Diego. Molly's up at what we're calling her place, the zoo. And I am live at the Everlight Solar Studios. So we're spread out, but we're all together today, Jason.
God, what an honor. Like, I'm glad I added this Friday appearance to my schedule, because otherwise I would never talk to Hamilton, that's for sure.
So, Matt, I will give you the honors of asking the first question, because it'll probably be the last question you ask of Jason until maybe Christmas. So might as well the fire went off.
Yeah, you know what, Jason? We haven't got the poll question up yet, but I think we're going to. I need to know what style of pizza is best. Detroit style, Chicago deep dish, Chicago tavern style, or New York style?
Well, what a joy it is to have you available when I'm on. I was hoping, I just keep going to Metcalf's Market anytime I'm in Madison, hoping I bump into you there. I haven't succeeded yet.
Honestly, I've been gone a lot. It's been rough.
Oh, I'm aware. And I haven't really been in Madison. That was a lie. I would say I am, if done right, and it's not all like greasy and flimsy, I would say New York style is number one for me.
Okay.
Number two is Detroit, because I love that caramelization action that goes on the edges. And then I don't think I like either of the Chicago options. I don't like deep dish. It has way too much cheese. And I don't like the cracker tavern style. It's too crunchy.
Too crunchy?
There's no wrong answers.
No,
I think you're right.
You're not wrong.
What were the wrong answers?
No, there aren't any, because
the wrong answer was deep dish. That's the only real
yeah,
wrong
if that was your favorite. Like, I could eat deep dish like once a year. Otherwise, I'd probably take Detroit, and then I'd put the thin crust in there as well, close to Detroit. Depends on how I'm feeling. I like all pizza. If it's pizza, it's pizza. But the deep dish is a life choice that's hard to make regularly. It's a lot. It's like a casserole. I mean, you order it if we go down there to Chicago once a year, we'll get for the family, and it feels like I'm carrying weights. I mean, it's so heavy.
Feels like you're pregnant with twins.
Well,
all right, and then Dr. Nestor Rodriguez is like, what the hell happened to you?
Exactly. Every time I get a talking to you when I get back from Chicago. Now, I am going down to Chicago this weekend, and I'm going to see the Badgers play Oregon on Saturday. So it's basically my family's not going to see me from 4 o'clock on Saturday until 6, 7 p.m. on Sunday. So I don't know if that'll be good or bad for them. But we were asking the question, Jason, which game am I gonna leave in a better mood from? And I'll give you this, and I can't sing the Rent song, but I'll just tell you this. The last time the Bears beat Green Bay was 71 months ago, 308 weeks ago, 2,159 days ago. So I don't know how to do the Rent song, but it's been a long
525,600 yes. minutes.
Yeah, it's 2,159 days ago. So yeah, Jason, I'll let you decide which one I'll be leaving in a better mood.
How do you measure a dysfunctional team?
Right, there you go.
I am not a bold enough man to come out and say that I think the Bears are going to win. I am not that person.
Same.
But I'm also not that person who says that there's a 0% chance of that happening.
Same.
Which I'm hearing a lot of. I don't need to tell you this, but they should have won the Washington game. Washington has turned out to be a pretty darn good football team. And it is mind-boggling to me that they lost that, and now it's spiraled into a three-game losing streak. And that's what happens to seasons. And then you can't – it's like a car that's completely out of control on ice, and they just – you're just waiting for the final crash for it to, for the vehicle to be totaled. And that feels like that's where they're at. And now they're – you know, they're trying everything they can. They're putting it in low gear. They're tapping the brakes. They're changing the offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that any of it's going to matter, but I would say this, you know, they would have been 5-2 with a big time signature road win had Tyreek Stevenson been, you know, paying attention. And so I do think it's dangerous to just look at these guys and go, they're garbage. This is not going to be even close. Do I think the Packers could win this game 38-10? I do, especially if their offensive line continues to do such a terrible job of protecting their bonus baby quarterback, and that could get out of hand even against a mediocre at best pass rush that the Packers have. So I you know, look, I have a hard time picturing the Badgers beating Oregon. I watched Oregon play obviously a fair amount this season now that they're in the Big Ten, but that's the team that I would always sit and watch late at night. And you know, early in the year, they played Idaho, and they had a really hard time at home. Mm-hmm. So are they the same team that they were when they were taking on Tausch's good buddy Jason Eck? No, they're better. But, you know, you never know what can happen. But I don't see either of these games going the way of the underdog, let's be honest.
Jason, are you expecting there to be any noticeable differences in the way that Jordan Love plays on Sunday coming off the bye week? Like, do you think he's going to be cleaner? Do you think he's going to be a little bit less risky? What are you thinking?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Molly. And I don't know what exactly changes, but I have a couple of guesses, right? And one of them is, you know, he's going to be more accurate, right? He's going to have a whole week of practice. His knee and his groin, if they're not both 100%, they're sure a heck of a lot better than they were for the Detroit game. And you know, I wrote something in the State Journal this morning about Dontayvion Wicks, and I'm not excusing his drops, because mm-hmm. some of them are undeniably on him. But his quarterback has not been accurate, and Jordan will admit that. I'm not saying anything that Jordan wouldn't say. So the reality is you can also help your guys who have dropped a ton of passes as a team, not just on Tavion Wicks, if you're more accurate with your ball placement. And you look at some of Wicks's drops, and they were inaccurate throws. Like, there was one, I mean, it was at his shoe tops, and we still gave him a drop because he deserved one, but that's a really hard catch to make. And so my point is that item number one on the to-do list is for him to be more accurate. Now, item number two is, what is his mobility going to look like, and how much better will that be? Will that give them more flexibility with him? Will he be able to do more? You would think so. So that's number two. But to me, number three, I don't believe it has anything to do with his injuries, and I don't think the coaches do either. And that's his decision-making. Like, one of my colleagues was trying to pin down Adam Stenovich and basically trying to get him to say that the interceptions are a function of his injuries. And this is why I love offensive linemen, man. I've worked with, covered a ton of them. Obviously, I work with one every day, and we got Bulaga once a week. They are straight shooters. And Adam Stenovich was like, no. Like, that is not why he's throwing the interceptions. He's got to make better decisions. And so I am curious to see if that part is something that changes, because, again, this is a game, and I'm not going to steal Tausch's Superman analogy, but this is a game where Jordan Love does not have to play this incredibly great game in order for them to have a chance to win. He may need to do that a week from now when they play the 49ers, but this is a game where he has to avoid mistakes, make some critical throws, but he does not have to be a hero. And if he makes critical mistakes like the ones we've seen, that's how a team like the Bears and where they're at right now finds a way to beat you.
Jason, can you explain the Marshawn Lloyd situation to us? Because it kind of came through right before the show started, and it's wild because everyone thought, I thought he'd be playing this weekend, and that's not the case.
Well, I got news for you. Marshawn Lloyd thought he was going to be playing this weekend, too, and so did everybody else. I don't know. I was sitting, because I knew I was going to be talking to you guys in a little bit. I've been sitting here trying to think if there's any player that I have seen during my career covering this team that has had worse luck out of the gates than this kid. Like, they were really, I'll be honest, they were really excited about getting him back. They think he is a difference maker. He's a different style running back. But let's recap his season to this point. He comes to camp and he's got a hip injury off the bat. So he starts camp on the non-football injury list. He had hurt himself while working out on his own. Gets finally cleared, gets on the field about a week into camp, plays in the second preseason game at Denver, pulls his hamstring, like severely pulls it, is sidelined for the rest of camp, doesn't play in the opener, finally is healthy enough to play, plays in week two against the Colts, gets six carries, and hurts his ankle. Can't finish the game. Lands on injured reserve. Has not played since. That was week two. And now we're in week, what, 11? They open the window up for him to start practicing. Everybody's excited. He practiced yesterday. He practiced Wednesday. Today's not there. And, you know, we're kind of like, well, what's going on with him? LaFleur gets to the podium. Somebody asked, did something happen with Marshawn Lloyd? And he says, yeah, he's having an emergency appendectomy. Apparently he was in the training room, and after he got done with, you know, the stuff with his ankle and his hamstring, he told the medical staff, hey, my stomach really hurts or something. And they're like, they felt it, and they were like, okay, we need to get you to the hospital to make sure this isn't something like burst appendix. Well, it turns out it is his appendix. So now, here's the problem. So they've already opened the practice window. He obviously won't be practicing. Last time they had a guy with an appendicitis was David Bakhtiari. He missed a month.
Yeah.
So, you know, now they're in this place where you only get eight opportunities to bring a guy back from IR. Is he, you know, do you do that with him a second time? Because you're going to end up putting him back on IR now. Because he's not going to be available. LaFleur said that they're, I don't want to say petitioning because he didn't say that, but they're inquiring with the league if there's anything they can do, because it's not like he re-injured his ankle practicing. This is a total non-football thing, and they're hoping maybe they get some sort of exemption, but I wouldn't hold my breath. The NFL are sticklers for rules.
Jason, I have a question about the defensive line. I do think that the best chance the Bears have is going to be keeping the ball out of the Packers' offense's hands. And that, to me, mm-hmm. is a good running game. They lost a four-year Packer, essentially captain, in Preston Smith. This is the first game back without him. I want to know, what's the vibe on this defensive line? Do they feel like they lost their leader, or is everybody ready to go and raring? Like, what's the situation with that?
Yeah, I think it's more excitement about opportunities for other guys, and I think that's in part. Now, I don't know the guys that are going to get opportunities, J.J. Enagbare, Lucas Van Ness, Aaron Mosby, Brenton Cox. None of those guys said anything about whether or not they knew Preston was unhappy, but like, Preston Smith asked to be traded like weeks ago. So I wonder how that changes the dynamic too, right? Because that's not real leadership-y, if we're being honest, right? And so I don't think it's – I really don't think that they're – and frankly, he wasn't that productive. Like, I'm not trying to be a – you know, kick him on his way out the door. But, like, I think he had 2.5 sacks and 6 pressures on the year. I mean, hadn't really been a factor. So, you know, I think Goody's mentality is it doesn't really matter what happens with him. So, you know, I don't know if this is a good enough running team right now. You know, obviously Swift is a really good player. But I don't know how, you know, I defer to Jim on whether they can take advantage of that. I would say this. I'm not sure that they have a front four that's capable of getting after Caleb Williams to the tune of 9 sacks like the Patriots did. Now, I know some of that was Caleb holding on to the football, but, like, I'm not sure that that group is going to get pressure on them unless they do some more exotic stuff, which is what basically Halfley's felt compelled to do.
I would say New England, I think, and Arizona both were pretty horrendous rushing the passer, and they got right against the Bears. Now, the one thing that I believe Thomas Brown, the new offensive coordinator, former Badger running back coach for a year, said that very quickly what he was going to do is simplify the offense. I think you're going to see a lot of running the football, and I think they're focusing on Caleb. And I think, Jason, I wanted to ask you this because a lot of, was it Nate Tyson, a lot of people like on the outside looking in on Chicago said that, like, just because Caleb Williams is capable of calling the protections out and calling audibles and running a no huddle and he's doing the right things and he's doing what they're asking him to do doesn't mean you should ask him to do all of that as a rookie, and maybe taking more off his plate would make his life easier so he doesn't get this paralysis by analysis, because they keep on showing these times where, like, someone's open but he wants to go through all of his reads first and then go back to that guy, and that's throwing him off a little bit, and also quarterback, you know, getting tight. So obviously Jordan Love went through some of this last year against bad teams too, and he had some bad games against bad teams. He was able to turn himself out of it. Like, when you look at what a team could do or what Green Bay did to help Jordan Love, what do you see that Chicago could do just in general? Because obviously Jordan Love had a stretch that was pretty brutal last year too.
Yeah, the weird thing about Love is that they actually kind of took the training wheels off and let it rip with him, and he succeeded more. Now, look, Matt LaFleur deserves a ton of credit because he designed an offense and 2 game plans to make Malik Willis productive. And once he took the governor off of Love, he designed game plans that allowed him to let it rip while still keeping him within the framework of the offense. I don't know. I have nothing against Thomas Brown, so I don't know what to make of him. But he, you know, he just dealt with this last year in Carolina as well. So I don't know about him, but it seemed to me that this staff, and again, I don't want to drag Shane Waldron, or as Couch calls him, Cauldron, because he didn't know his name, through the mud. But, you know, it does feel like you got to figure out ways to, your job as a coach, right? Whether you're coaching Rosie's team or I'm coaching one of Sydney's or Maddie's teams or whatever it might be, your job is to make your, put your players in the best position to succeed. And the Bears coaches clearly have not done that for Caleb Williams for much of this year. So, you know, whatever that looks like, there's no denying that that's what they need to do. I just don't know how they're going to go about it. I think you got to run the football. You got to be able to run some play action. That will make it easier on him. But the bottom line is that what you just said is that's a lot to put on any quarterback's plate, even a guy that you view as a can't-miss prospect, not just as a rookie, but even early in his career. Like, you know, the protection thing, for example, Josh Myers was calling most of them out last year, right? Gave Love the ability to can plays, but that's a play that is attached to the primary call. So it's basically, I know that if I see this, then I can to this. It's not calling something completely different from whole cloth, which now Love has some opportunities to do that. But they did it incrementally. And the Bears, again, I got, you know, I love Matt Eberflus's makeover. I enjoyed watching Hard Knocks. But when are they just going to say, look, we have a generational talent potentially at quarterback. Let's go pay Ben Johnson the moon and the stars so he can, a guy who's proven that he can make Jared Goff so good. Let's go pay him and make sure that we give this kid every chance to succeed, and then we'll go get a really good defensive coordinator because we're always branded as a good defensive team, but we cannot screw another quarterback up. I would hope that that's their plan.
Ben Johnson, Robert Saleh. That's my hope for the Bears there.
I think
that'd be a great combo for that team. Jason, really appreciate all the great insight. I want to leave you with this, as I have deleted the Twitter app off my phone. It's just on the browser. I'm going to recommend, if you haven't done it, Jason, and if you have, I'm going to follow you. Go to Blue Sky. That is my recommendation for you, Jason, for the weekend. Look into it. It is so much better than Twitter.
I signed up earlier in the week. I posted for the first time today.
I'm going to go look for you.
You'll have to excuse me, because once upon a time, Twitter was this utopia where there were some jerks, but you know, mostly nice people. And so I'm going in as a skeptic, but I'm giving it a shot.
Yes, it'll be good until it goes bad. But, you know, it's at least...
like the Bears season.
Right. You leave one dumpster fire for the dumpster that isn't on fire yet. That's all I'm saying.
All right, well, I can't wait to find at Jim, Matt, and Molly on Blue Sky.
All right, thank you, Jason.
All right, guys, take care. Be good.
That's Jason Wilde. Don't miss out on going to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. We're doing a show there sooner than later, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Middleton. Molly probably knows more than I do.
December 4th.